Live from the pregame tailgate party zone at IG Field, you can feel the electricity in the air. Best versus best. MOP candidates going head-to-head. The 12-1 Argos in town to take on the first place 10-4 Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Chad Kelly, MOP in the East. Zach Kolaris, MOP in the West. Battling head-to-head is what we would be saying. Except Toronto decided to leave a bunch of dudes at home for this game because they are done and dusted in the CFL's East Division. Derek Taylor, Doug Brown, Ed Tate with you in the pregame show. We're in the CertainTeed broadcast booth, professional-grade building materials, pro all the way. That chill in the air is what the Toronto Argonauts brought us by leaving their stars at home. 21 degrees currently at the airport. No breeze to speak of. Temperature will fall throughout the evening. No precipitation expected. It'll get down to 15, 14 degrees late in the game. So this is fantastic September football weather. We have a ton to talk about in this pregame show. Of course, we'll talk about the decision made by Ryan Dinwiddie and the Argos. We'll talk about a third straight sellout for the Bombers this season. First time they've done that in a long time. Where are Willie Jefferson's sacks, and why haven't we seen them in a while? We'll get a breakdown of the Argos, the injury report, the film room, all our great specials. Plus, we're going to give you our hot takes with Cameron Poitras coming up a little later on. This was going to be the biggest regular season game so far. First in the West, first in the East. But we learned early this week that Chad Kelly, the Argos starting quarterback and East leading MOP candidate, would not play. He's here. He is on the depth chart as the third string player. And other guys are out. Jamal Peters, one of their star defensive backs. Wynton McManus, who might be the best linebacker in the CFL, and Sean Oakman, their defensive tackle, is on the one-game injured list as a healthy scratch. And Doug Brown, your reaction to it is?
Well, I hate it. It's unprecedented for a first-year starter in Chad Kelly with almost a third of the football regular season remaining to be just not available for this game. Ryan Dinwiddie is essentially cherry-picking his opponents down the stretch, either as a confidence thing for his team, either as a way to avoid certain demoralizing defeat. I don't know his rationale for it. Everyone, we can talk to we're blue in the face about rest versus rust, okay? But when you got five games left, almost a third of the football season, the regular season, and, you know, this barn is sold out largely because it's the first rematch of the previous year's Grey Cup, and you have the two of the best teams in both divisions finally squaring off, and then you pull the chute and you pull the plug on it. It's I'll tell you this, the one thing people aren't recognizing with this is the head coach is your leader, your football team, and he's essentially telling you, he's told the media that, yeah, he has concerns about his football team's competitiveness in this game due to the defensive line, due to the crowd noise, so on and so forth. And that's a message that resonates with players in a football. I can't imagine playing for a coach, whether he believes that or not. The fact he said that publicly is it's mind-blowing. It's absolutely it's chicken shit football is what we're talking about here. Ryan Dinwiddie cherry-picking which games he wants to play his team, because guess what, Chad Kelly's not sitting out all five games before playoffs. He's going to be playing in some, probably the ones that Ryan feels warm and toasty and cozy about, that they have the best chance of winning.
Just so people don't think that Doug is exaggerating, this from Ted Wyman on Twitter. Asked Argos coach Ryan Dinwiddie why he chose this game against the Bombers, specifically to sit out Chad Kelly. Quote, the crowd noise and their defensive line. Ed Tate.
Well, there's so much. There's so much to bite off there, and Doug's got off to a real good start here with his opening remarks. And there's, you know, I'm not going to argue at all with Doug. I mean, there's some credence to the decision, right? They've earned the right to do this. He is cherry picking what game. You know, it's odd because I look at their schedule. They're here tonight. They're home to Edmonton. That's their 150th celebration game next week. So that makes sense that you'd like to have Chad Kelly in that game. Then home to Ottawa, at Saskatchewan, and then at Ottawa. If you're going to replicate playoff conditions, this is the best game. Get your quarterback used to playing in front of a full crowd. an enemy crowd where you're going to have to practice silent count and all that, and silent calls and all that stuff. Get him ready. This is the best game to get him playoff ready. And instead, he's going to skip this one, and then there's one, four more games after this where maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't. I don't know how this sharpens anything for the playoffs. On the other hand, I'll just take a step back. We can say that this is impacting the storylines, and it is. But if you're the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and they want to trot out Cameron Dukes at quarterback, bring it on. They're in a fight for first place. They've lost two of their last three. Bring it on. We'll try to grab the win and go into BC next week to grab first place. So they can't control the depth chart. Just bring it on.
I even think it's detrimental to the development of Chad Kelly. You're a first-year starter in the CFL. You need as many live reps as you can get against the best teams in this league in the regular season, so you're not surprised by what happens in the postseason. He is exactly, what, one drive in the fourth quarter of experience against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Yep.
And very possible he's going to end up playing them, you know, potentially in a game in the playoffs, and that'll be his first time. Ryan's talking about, oh, we don't want to give the Bombers a look of what it's like to play Chad Kelly. Well, guess what? It's a lot easier to play nose tackle against a quarterback than it is for a quarterback to play against 12 guys on one of the best defenses in the CFL.
Well,
it's just asinine, his explanation.
The other thing that's interesting, and you talked about how the overall approach and the message this sends, I've heard it suggested this week, too, that they're going to be very vanilla on offense, that they're not going to show anything. Well, what's going on here, then? Is this a preseason game? Or what are you saving it for? Like, you know, they are 12-1. I bet you everybody
in Argo
went.
What are they afraid of?
They want to go 13-1, don't you? Like, doesn't everybody on that team want to go 13-1 tonight? And you take a, I understand rest and getting guys healthy, but there's just so much highway yet to go between here and the playoffs that I think I would be all hands on deck for this one and take my breather later in the schedule.
What they're afraid of would be the next time you face the Bombers would only be in the Grey Cup. That's the only thing. Mm-hmm. If you're afraid of anything, that's the only thing I can think of.
And, you know, you look for comparables, right, other situations. You look at 2007, look at the New England Patriots that went 16-0 in the regular season. And by 14-0, they had accomplished everything they could in the National Football League. And did Bill Belichick sit Tom Brady down for a single snap in those two remaining games? Absolutely not. You know, exponentially more valuable player than Chad Kelly will ever be. And yet, you know, with way more at stake. And it's incomprehensible to me the path that they chose to take with a healthy starting quarterback who's only a first-year starter. I think he's a very good quarterback. I think he's got a bright future. But to duck out of a game against an opponent, something that is so hyped and so supposedly going to be so competitive, it's unbelievable.
Is this different than... Because he's a first-year starter, does that make it different than when Winnipeg opted to rest guys last year?
Let me just preface this with that. 22 and 23, the Bombers clinched well in advance, right? In 22, the third last game, there were no changes to the roster. The second last game was at BC.
Yep.
The Bombers left a lot of guys at home. The final game at home, they left a couple guys off the roster. Some guys played half the game. They rested with three games clear. They played a full squad in that third last game. 2021, a bunch of guys were out, and they had two games in which they were clinched, and they rested guys over the course of two games. I could not find an example in the CFL of a team clinching with six games to go.
It's crazy.
Last week they rested Ouellette. This week it's Kelly. It's almost certainly Oakman. McManus and Peters are hurt, but who knows to what extent would they have played if this mattered to them. So I just wanted to preface this with the Bombers have rested players, but they've chose to do it in the last road game, right? Whereas the Argos, they have a road game at Sask 2 weeks, the second last week of the season, which would be the perfect rest game, and I don't think any of us would be crabbing about that one.
Yeah, but they think they can win that game easier, so they'll, you know, they'll probably play. Like, it's just, I've never seen this kind of decorum, this kind of strategic positioning and withdrawal of your roster list. I mean, Ryan's a young quarterback, and he's got a young he's a young head coach, and he's got a young quarterback in his stable there. And you know, Chad Kelly, his contract looks like he's a tenured vet, and some of his accomplishments look like he's a tenured vet, but he's not a tenured vet, right? And he's played very well this season. But I think they're going to come to rue this and regret the fact that they didn't get this seasoning against another high-caliber opponent in the regular season. And Ryan, like you said, unless he's telling his team something completely contradictory to what he's telling the press,
yep.
I do not want to play for a head coach that is essentially going out there and saying that we're concerned about certain factors or elements of a team that we're playing, so we're going to make certain considerations to not expose guys.
That part, keep that in-house.
Well,
right?
There are things that I refer to as must-lie situations. You have to lie in this situation, right? To me, I'm with you that this is a must-lie situation. Chad's a little dinged up, and we want to give him a week off. Because our bye weeks were so heavily plopped in the first half of the
That's
season,
a great answer.
We wanted to give him a week off. That would... When I saw that quote, I could not believe that you're essentially saying that we're scared of the Bombers' defense.
You're a head coach. This is you're speaking on behalf of your team. I remember I've been told from so many coaches that until I've been blue in the face that, hey, a lot of time you say I when you're talking, okay? You don't speak for the team. The head coach speaks for the team, and that's what the head coach said about his team leading up to this game, and why their starting quarterback is not playing.
Why did you choose to sit out Chad Kelly? Ryan Dinwiddie said, quote, the crowd noise and their defensive line.
I'll tell you what, if I'm the defensive line for Edmonton, Ottawa, or Sask,
right.
I'm pinning that up on our message room next week for those games coming up.
Hey, Ryan,
up.
You're not worried about us?
Yeah.
Just smash
Watch
Chad Kelly.
This. Yeah.
It just makes, if there's a Grey Cup rematch, if both these teams are back in the Grey Cup, it just got so much hotter because no Ryan Dinwiddie. One thing I want to point out, that if you played home and home against every team in the Canadian Football League.
Oh, boy, big one.
We would have this matchup. We would have had this matchup. There were so many examples. We'll talk about them later in the pregame show. But if you're home and home against every team, plus two games in your division, that's 18 games, and we might not have to deal with, hey, we don't get the two MOP candidates going head-to-head. Oh, we don't get Andrew Harris playing for the Argos back here in Winnipeg. To me, some of this comes on the CFL as well for however it's been scheduling the last 2 years. But, yes, a choice by the Argos and Ryan Dinwiddie. At DT on OB on Twitter, the Argos not playing Kelly in tonight's game versus the Bombers is safe, embarrassing, smart, or chicken? Doug Brown?
Chicken shit.
Ed Tate?
Chicken poop.
Yeah, I'm somewhere between smart and chicken, and I'm gonna need some people to help me along.
I wonder what that is. Somewhere between smart and chicken. What would that be?
I don't know. But if you got an answer for it, at DT on OB, and you can reach it on the text line at 204-780-6868. Don't forget, today's game brought to you by PlayNow.com. Bet on blue on the other side. We'll do a little fantasy preview, plus we have some special guests in the crowd in tonight's sold-out football game. It's Princess Auto Blue Bomber Football on 680 CJOB.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.